So, welcome once again. I think it's another round of me introducing you, Anarchist Days. We are a self-organized anarchist event going through the week, organizing this thing for, I don't know, years already. We cover very different topics from local Dresden politics to international politics. We invite people also from the other countries to talk and bring their perspectives to this village that we call, some of us call home. We are not financed by any institutions. We are financed by donations from people who are visiting the event. And this is required for covering certain costs, like travel costs for the people who are coming and so on. So feel free to drop some donations. And if you feel like you have a little bit of time that you can spare, you can also help other like organizing parts. There is a lot to do. There is also a lot to do tomorrow building down. So feel free to pass by and help us with that. And about this talk, Mahmoud is online. I think you will introduce yourself. I'm not going to do this weird thing. After the talk, you will have possibility to give comments or to ask questions because it's an online talk, so there will be no like jumping out of the room and giving some comments or something like that. Please be respectful towards the other people, and thank you very much. Yeah, we can start.
Yes, I can hear you. I can start. Okay, I don't want to feel like talking to myself, but thank you very much for the invitation and for giving me this space with amazing people to share with you what is happening in the West Bank. And we all know that now none of the states in the Middle East is rest. Every area is unrest. We saw the escalation in Lebanon and in Gaza. But before going to that, I want to introduce myself. So my name is Mahmoud, and I am from a village near Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the city located in West Bank. And I lived most of my life in this village. And this village has a legacy of nonviolent resistance organized against the segregation wall and the settlements since 2005 up to 2015. And I am part of a network of nonviolent activists called Popular Struggle Coordination Committee. We are involved in different nonviolent campaigns, including the last one, which is FAZA, which is to protect farmers and shepherds while they are working their land and grazing their sheep. But also, I took an opportunity to learn from other experiences about nonviolent resistance. So I, to an extent, believe that I do some academic work, but this is nothing in front of my activism. So back to the situation, I mean, when we look at the Palestine issue, and if we do not dig to the roots of the problem, this is a problem because we will never reach a solution. And when we look at the symptoms of the problem, then we will not end the disease. And that's why the failure of any negotiation process or any peace agreements or whatever, because it's all not digging to the roots. So instead of solving the issue and ending the military occupation, we are just managing this case in a way that we maintain this occupation forever, and we give the Palestinians some kind of a humanitarian aid. I am saying this because this came out after October 7. This came out to the people as if everything was okay, as if we were living in a liberated country and we dreamed to invade another country. To an extent like Russia when they invaded Ukraine. As if it was like this. And that was a shock for us to understand how the people approach us and understand the conflict and how we are ignored in a way that you, as if we are liberated and not living under occupation, as myself who was born under occupation and lived all my life under occupation. Anyway, the story is very long, and let's make it short by saying that when October 7th happened, everything has changed. And changed in a way that we see Gaza is bombed, Gaza is under genocide and all of that. But also Israel exploited that situation that is happening in Gaza to take what they want in the West Bank. And I am telling you, Gaza is the most populated area all over the world, 2 million people living in 360 square kilometer, and the eyes of the Israelis are on the hills of the West Bank. So that's their dream. Their dream is to control the hills of the West Bank. And West Bank is the, let's say, like the vast majority of the future Palestinian state, according to whatever resolutions from the United Nations or from Oslo Accords or whatever the principles of the two-state solution. So if Israel believes in a two-state solution, why they are building all these illegal colonies according to international law? Just to give you figures that when Palestinians and Israelis signed Oslo Accords, there were like 100,000 settlers living in what's so-called the occupied West Bank. And now, after 30 years, we have more than 850,000 settlers living illegally in the occupied Palestinian territories in the West Bank. So if Israel is willing to do peace, why they are bringing more settlers? And what has happened actually is since Trump became the president of the US, Trump is honest. He is like, there is nothing hide in his heart, like Biden, who is a yellow scorpion. But Trump announced his map, a peace between brackets, peace map for Trump, which is, we are not going to evacuate any Israeli settler. We are going to give Palestinian a state in the Sinai Desert. And that make the settlers more aggressive. So the settlers are the one who are implementing the strategy of the state, the policy of the state, and they are the one who are grabbing the land of the Palestinians. They are the one who are ethnically cleansing Palestinians from their homes and their lands. So Trump was an opportunity for the Israelis, for the Israeli settlers, in order to expand their settlements in the West Bank. And they did. And they occupy many hills, and they do kick Palestinians from their homes. Up to 2023, early January, when the new government came out. This new government is a mix of between far right and very far right, between Likud, Netanyahu, and Ben-Gvir, Smotrich, all these ideological extreme people who were, few years ago, were recognized as terrorist people according to the Israeli courts. And those people became the power holders. They are the one who are giving the orders to the settlers to do whatever they want to do in the West Bank. And October 7 happened after 10 months of the Israeli, of the new Israeli government. And that is an opportunity for the settlers to do whatever they want without accountability, with full impunity. And here, the day after, the 7th of October, settlers turn soldiers. Settlers become the law. Settlers, the one who were implementing the laws. Settlers were the one who is moving in the West Bank. We wake up, and the Israeli authorities blocked every single road, every single road that enabled Palestinians to move all over West Bank. So we were living in ghettos. Every Palestinian is living in a ghetto and without any movement. This has happened for 3 months, from October up to end of December, where movement is very limited, and you cannot use the roads that we used to use. And these roads became only for the illegal Israeli settlers who are living on our land. And this indicates one thing, which is, what is the Israeli future policy? The Israeli future policy is an apartheid state that will not allow Palestinians even to move. So the image that you can see is that Palestinians are using unpaved roads, mountains, to move from one place to another, sometimes on donkeys, sometimes on mules, sometimes on by cars, while on the other, just a few meters away, highways only used by Israeli settlers. And this is apartheid. So the clear face of apartheid and segregation has been very clear after October 7. The second point that actually happened is the expelling of Palestinian communities from their homes, where settlers start to attack these villages at night, causing the death of many of them. And now in the West Bank by itself, more than 700 Palestinians were killed since October 7. The settler attacks increased 3 times more than before October 7. And the army did nothing. And actually what was happening is that the government distributed guns to the settlers. And we are talking about 100,000 guns distributed to the settlers in order to terrorize Palestinians in Area C. And for you who don't know what does it mean, Area C, according to Oslo, 60% of West Bank is Area C, which is under full Israeli military occupation, in which there are two laws applied, civil law applied on illegal Israeli settlers and military law that is applied on the Palestinians. So imagine this life of few Palestinians living in each community when settlers attack them. They kill their livestock. They chop their olive trees. They destroy and burn their homes. They burn their cars, and sometimes they kill the Palestinians and they injure them. And if you go to the Israeli police, you will be jailed. In the best scenario, the Israeli police will not let you go back to your community. So that is how the unlaw situation that we found ourselves after October 7 as uncitizens living under the control of the settlers who are not interested in Gaza and their eyes is on the hills of the West Bank. And this situation has continued, and more than 18 Palestinian communities were wiped from the map, completely expelled from their locations and pushed to Area A and Area B, which is to make like concentration places, like camps for the Palestinians to be inside. And there are gates at the entrance of each, let's say, village or city full of population. And whenever they want to open, they open. Whenever they want to close, they close. I just came from Ramallah and I passed three yellow gates and I didn't manage to reach the main road. So I used the mountains to come back home to my house. So that's the scenario that has happened in the West Bank. As I mentioned before, when settlers knew from Trump's plan that they will not be evicted, they start to adopt the lifestyle of the Palestinians. So they become shepherds, and there is like this pastoral outposts. If you search them on internet, you can find them, in which they take the land of the Palestinians, of the Palestinians. One settler in the Jordan Valley controls land more than the Palestinian Authority, more than the Palestinian government, more than Area A, one settler. So these things are happening where Palestinians left alone to the Israeli settlers to attack them, to humiliate them. And if Palestinians resist, then they will be killed. If they defend themselves, then they will be killed immediately. So the army in the West Bank now, their duty is to be sure that settlers can commit their crimes against Palestinians without any reaction from the Palestinians. So that's one scenario that start to happen after October 7. The second scenario is the expansion of the settlement. No one is saying to Israel why you are building illegal settlements in the occupied West Bank. And even in some countries, they do not recognize that Israel is occupying Palestine. They think that we are the one who are occupying Israel. So this means on the long term that there is a transfer plan, that some settlers are openly calling for Palestinians leave peacefully to Jordan. The distance between West Bank and Jordan is less than 100 kilometers. If you need buses, we offer you buses and we let you to leave to Jordan. And if you do not leave, these are leaflets distributed to the Palestinians. These are leaflets advertised on social media and Facebook, Instagram, and so on. And if you do not leave, you will face the same as you faced in 1948. They mean the Nakba. So this is something in order to push the Palestinians outside Palestine, outside to the east of the river, to Jordan, to any other place, just leave. And their message to the Palestinians is the good Palestinian is the dead Palestinian. So there is no difference whether you are a Palestinian in Gaza carrying a gun or a poor Palestinian in the West Bank, you do not do anything. Both are the same. You are in the queue, and one day your turn will arrive, and you will be killed. Whether you are even a Palestinian living in Israel, you are waiting for your turn to be slaughtered, because they don't want to see Palestinians in Palestine. the way that they are behaving on the ground. When October 7th happened, they start to map Palestinian activists, and they start to kill some of them. A friend of mine, who, and they killed him with his son. I am talking about the settlers who doesn't care about the sanctions, about the accountability, and they know that they are enjoying impunity. The settlers who carry double nationalities, who could be Germans, could be Americans, could be French, could be Italians, could be any other nationality, and they don't care. And they go to Germany with open eyes after committing crimes in Palestine. In front of my bedroom, five times they came and they parked to provoke us in front of my bedroom. My friend who was farming his land, three settlers attacked him. They broke both arms, both of his arms. And when the police arrived, they arrested my friend and they didn't even investigate the settlers. Many cases, the settler assassinated Palestinians on spot. Many times they killed hundreds of sheep, goats, cows. They don't want you to be productive. So the story is very long about what the settlers are doing and how they are implementing their policies in the West Bank to take as much as they can from the land, to push Palestinians in ghettos and to make them living a miserable life so Palestinians will live smoothly. And this is a smooth catastrophe, smooth Nakba. So Israel is using everything against us as a weapon. Water. They cut the water on us. Everyone now is waiting for their turn to drink water. Even in the West Bank, every 2 weeks we have water in the pipes, in the network. While all of our water that is from the reservoir next to my village is going to the settlements on the other side. And then from there, whenever they want to send us some money, some water, they send. If not, they cut the water off. And imagine the farmers, imagine the shepherds, imagine every aspect of this life. 3 days ago, an elementary school east of Ramallah in a Bedouin village, four settlers masked attacked the school. They broke the hand of a teacher and they beat Israeli activists who was there with the teachers in the school. And when the army arrived, you know what they do, what they did. They arrested the teachers, the head of the school, and they let the settlers go. So this is the democracy of Israel. This is how Israel is behaving in the West Bank. Clearly, openly, they are there to kick Palestinians, to lay the ground for the settlers to do whatever they want, to annex land, to expel Palestinians from their homes. Now, if it comes to the trees, to the poor olive tree, that the youngest olive tree in Palestine is older than the age of Israel, in which Israel is younger than my father's age. When they burn fields of olive trees, you know, like how much Palestinians rely on olives. Last year, we missed the harvest. We missed the harvest and no one was able to pick their olives. Tons of olives we missed. And thousands and thousands of olive trees were burned. And that's because they want everything burned, especially the Palestinian environment. You know, if you throw your cigarette in Israel from the window of your car, you will be, maybe you will go to jail for a year. But if you burn a field of olive trees in the West Bank, you are a hero. So that is Israel. That is the villa in the jungle. That is the only democracy in the Middle East. And I am talking to you about stories that happened with me, with my family, with my friends, and the people I know. So that's something maybe you do not see on the media in the West or the in the mainstream media in the West. Because you do not have safe space. You do not have freedom of expression living in Germany. Oh my God. If they give me the citizenship of Germany, tomorrow I will refuse it. I don't want to live in a country like Germany, who do not give the people the freedom of expression when it comes to dehumanizing another people. So that's why we were shocked also internationally, because of the internationals who were like, oh my God, as if, as I said at the beginning, Palestine were liberated and they dreamed to invade Israel. As if, the same as Russia when they invaded Ukraine. This is the Western message that we received. When we looked at the mainstream media, oh my God, what is this? Where are the efforts of decades of working on international? The conclusion we came out is that this is an opportunity for the people in the West to look back at the kind of knowledge they are receiving. How their governments managed to create obedient societies to point every single citizen is an agent for this. That's sad. That's sad to see the people unable to see the sun rising from the east. We cannot argue about the sun if it rises from the east or the west. Everyone is seeing it. During the Nakba in 1948, maybe we didn't see the damage, the 500 something villages destroyed, and we argue about it. We want to call it the birth of Israel or the Nakba. Imagine this kind of knowledge that they are giving you over decades and decades. Why we are closing our eyes on what is happening in Palestine when it is live on TVs, on social media, and still your governments, your media is fooling you, disrespecting your minds? That is not fair. I know I am not talking about the people, but the people must be rebellious. The people must stand up. The governments must respect the minds of the people. So what is the value of all what we are receiving from education? So if I want to send my son to study where? In Berlin or in Somalia? No, I want to send my son to Somalia. At least there they will receive good education. Pure knowledge, not colonized knowledge. So that's the issue we walked up, and there is a huge anger against the international governments in a way that everyone is coming to shake hands with Netanyahu. And Netanyahu is disgusted from them. Just send us weapons. We don't want to host you. Yet, there is an opportunity came out from this. The opportunity is among the youth. We saw that the younger generation all over the world wake up and stand up to the rights of the Palestinians. And they said, there are many places where we can have the source of the information. the right information, not the wrong information that we receive from the mainstream media. So no more the governments in the West are relying on elderly people who are living the guilt of the history, and by remaining silent to what is happening now in Palestine. So we, as popular committees, as a nonviolent network, when we saw that settlers are attacking people everywhere, we launched a campaign. This campaign, we call it Faza, or Support Palestinians, Defend Palestinians, in which we call internationals to come to Palestine, to be with the farmers, to be with the shepherds, to live the daily life of the Palestinians in a way, because the daily life of the Palestinians has changed. No one is able to move. No one is able to farm their land. No one is able to graze their sheep. So internationals start to arrive to Palestine, and they are now accompanying Palestinians. And you know what? Last week, an Israeli sniper shot an American citizen in the head and killed her. Aisha is a Turkish-American citizen. She was standing observing the brutality of the Israeli army, and an Israeli sniper shot her in the head, killing her immediately. What kind of a human they are when they kill a civilian, clearly international, and they shoot her in the head. Yesterday, I was in a meeting with other international volunteers. By the way, we received more than 100 something internationals since July up to now, and in October there will be more and more. Yesterday, I met some of the volunteers who are there, who were in a village south of Nablus in the West Bank when the settlers start to attack the village and they start to attack internationals. One international was filming. An Israeli soldier approached her, and he speaks in an American accent, and she is American. So you see, when you as a citizen decide to be in the right side of history and the wrong side of history, this American citizen chose to be a soldier attacking civilians in an occupied Palestinian territory. And this woman decided to be on the right side with the civilians who are living under the military occupation to protect them. And he told her, stop filming. You are hurting us. And I wish that I give you the gun and shoot me instead of filming me. So this indicates how much they are afraid of the camera, afraid of the truth. The truth that they managed to hide for 76 years. The truth that they passed this as a religion conflict, forgetting that I am an indigenous Jewish. Netanyahu came from Poland, but I am the ancestor of Abraham, stayed in this country. Whether I am Muslim, Christian, Jewish, whatever. So that's why I am saying we need the knowledge producers, the media, the governments to respect our minds. We are in 2024. And how come they are disrespecting our minds? How come they convert us to obedient societies, to agents, while we have the opportunity to see and to open our eyes and to raise our heads, to discover the reality, the truth? Guys, there are a lot that you can do to the Palestinians. Stand up for the Palestinians. I know the government in Germany bans, for example, boycotting Israeli products and so on. But who will prevent you when you go to the supermarket not to buy Israeli products? It's your morality. Your duty is to avoid buying Israeli products. And no government can prevent you from doing that. You can't do it as an individual. Who prevent you to teach your children about the reality that we are living nowadays? Who is still seeing that boycotting Israeli products as anti-Semitic behavior? Is this something logic? What do you want Palestinians to use if they do not use non-violent means? BDS is a non-violent tool. If you want us to drop BDS and you don't want to use BDS, do you want us to use other means of resistance? So why do not you support BDS? Why you do not stop buying Israeli products? Why you do not stop to continue boycotting cultural activities, Israeli cultural activities? This is because we want to pass a message to the Israelis that occupation cannot continue without punishment. If you want to stop being punished, you have to stop the occupation. That's the message we want to deliver to the Israeli. And the more we remain silent, the more the Israelis commit crimes. Another issue, which is come to Palestine. Come and join us in Palestine. Raise the voices of the Palestinians. Come, see firsthand stories. Go back, tell the truth to the people. What you saw only, without any bias. Say what you see in Palestine. See how we are building peace from bottom. And I am talking to you, and I have many, many Israeli friends who believe in the rights of the Palestinians, who believe in supporting the struggle of the Palestinians. Sadly, those Israeli groups have no space to express their opinion also, whether in Tel Aviv or any other place. They are repressed under threat, the same as us Palestinians. Why? Because they are saying the truth. Because they are on the right side of history. So guys, we need to come together. And we don't want to underestimate any action you are doing and many other groups are doing. It's like drops of water. These drops of water will become a stream, and the stream will be a river, and the river will damage the wall, and will damage colonialism, and we will live in freedom. That's why, remember how Israel bombed 5,000 mobiles in 5,000 Lebanese while they are sitting homes. How come we trust to drink water from Israel? How come we trust to eat from what Israel produce? How come we trust to read from what Israel produce? The one who used technology to kill people, 5,000 people, in 1 second, there is no morality in this. And this is a clear violation of international law. So this is, think about this. Think about all of this. And how this will lead to nowhere, just to more violence, more killing, and more hatred, and the wars will continue. Yet, they kill, and we get birth. They destroy, and we build. They uproot the trees, we plant the trees, and we are here. We are here on our land. And believe me, the struggle is between two cultures, the culture of destruction and the culture of construction. And never, ever, the culture of destruction will remain and last. That's why it's important to stop this from happening. And you have a voice. in Germany, in Europe, in the UK, in the US, in the rest of the world. You have a voice. How Israel feel? Next week there will be meetings in the United Nations. We will see how do they feel when the vast majority of the world are supporting the rights of the Palestinians. Only few countries, hypocritic countries like Germany, who are quiet or against the European Union laws. Why? Why this double standard? I know that there are many questions with no answers, but I am provoking you with these questions to become motivated to continue this, to do something, to act back home. Because when you change the mind of the people in your country, you are protecting Palestinians and Israelis. This is the way we make peace. What Israel is doing now is going to the end of the tunnel, and there is no exit from that tunnel. And I am telling you the truth, that Spain, Ireland, Norway, and some other countries who recognized Palestine is passing a message to Israel, saying, if you want to stay in the Middle East, you have to recognize part of the Palestinian rights. And that's why we recognize the Palestinian state. While the enemies of Israel, like Germany, US, UK, tell Israel, go do whatever you want. We supply you with the weapons. You know why? Read history well, and you will know why. Because these countries are using Israel as a dirty shoes to pass the dirty mud of the Middle East. If the US, UK, Germany sit with Israel, stop arming Israel, Israel will be disciplined and there will be peace. But if they keep arming Israel, they are sending Israel to hell. And no, who trusts Germany? Who trusts America? In a way that they will keep. There is an interest for Germany and America to maintain this support to Israel. If there will be another country that become ally with America, they will leave Israel. And history is a good example of showing that. So we need to stand up. We need to protect people, whatever their religion, whatever their race, whatever their skin color. And this is our duty. We are privileged by our knowledge because we are able to see beyond what is the mainstream media is saying and lying. I want to stop here, but I want to end with a message. Come to Palestine. Come and see. Stand with the Palestinian farmers and shepherds. Secondly, it's not our mistake as Palestinians if Abraham bought a piece of land in Palestine, not in Berlin or London or New York, back in the days. It's not our mistake if Mary born Jesus in my town. It's not our mistake if Moses, Israel, and others came and visited us in Palestine. It's not our problem if Prophet Muhammad took transit from Jerusalem to the sky. We are humans, and there is nothing called religion conflicts. There is politics, colonialism, and neoliberalism that is using religion in order to exploit everything to reach their agendas. I open the floor for questions. Thank you very much.
All right, Mahmoud, thank you very much. We will actually close the stream at this point, so people can ask questions in the audience without being recorded or transmitted to the internet. Yeah.
I'm looking at my face all the time. 40 minutes looking at my face without seeing anyone. So no body language.
Yeah. But sorry for that. The privacy, right? Concerns. But yeah. So,
you see, the freedom of expression is not there in Germany. I told you. If you are in Palestine, you will be more safe.
All right. So, the rule is the same. You raise your hand. You actually get a microphone so everybody else can hear you. And then you ask your question. Yeah? Let's go. Okay, I had a question over there. Yeah.
So I have a question. You speak about the Western countries delivering weapons to Israel, and I have some concerns. So obviously I want peace and I want freedom and that Israelis and Palestinians have equal rights and all this, and I'm really sorry for the struggle you're experiencing. But I also have concerns regarding a part of the, I say, liberation that Palestine wants is occupied by religious people who don't only want a liberation, but want to expel as a revenge or because of anti-Semitism, expel the Jewish people from Israel. So, and we saw it in the past, and it's a long history, I know, but if we stop arming Israel, or at least giving them a chance to survive, maybe they're going to be attacked again. So how can we prevent this, or what is your answer to this, or a solution to be able to not giving Israel too much weapons, but also saving Jewish lives, or maybe make it possible that the Jews can live in this region?
If I understood the question well, if the West stop arming Israel, how they will survive?
Yes, that's pretty much.
I didn't hear the question well because the voice was away far from the speakers.
Ah, damn it, sorry. So the question was about if you stop arming Israel, like there is a big chance that the certain powers within the Palestinian community that are more like, let's say, religious extreme and extreme right could use that for their own gain and could use that to escalate violence against Israeli citizens. How can you avoid this kind of situation where you stop actually arming the people but you also prevent the escalation of violence? So what could be the scenario? Was that correct?
First of all, why Palestinians should do that? If Israel is implementing the international law and there is no problem, let's take the international law, apply it in Palestine, and let's have peace forces in Palestine that prevent any clashes between Palestinians and Israelis until we have a permanent peace based on the United Nations resolutions and so on. So that's one point. The Palestinians never ever given the opportunity to have their state, to give them their rights in order to check if they will continue fighting the Israelis or not. Secondly, when we are talking about arming Israel, at least respect the laws of the country that they import the weapons from. So when, for example, you are sending weapons for wars or for fighting with armed people, why Israel is shooting hospitals? Why Israel is shooting refugee camps, schools, UNRWA schools, places where there are only civilians? Today, for example, they bombed a school. They killed 22 Palestinians, one male, 14 children, and the rest are women. So the misuse of weapon that Israel is using without any accountability, with full impunity, enable them to conduct more and more massacres. Now, if the countries stop arming Israel, they can tell the Israel, implement the international law, apply the laws of Europe, of human rights and so on, then everything will finish. I mean, you can't imagine, like, there is no hope, no wish or something like that to kill people. Whether you are religion or not, or whether you are believe or not, there is no need. If there is no occupation, no resistance, and no need for resistance, let's apply this international law, and that's all for Palestinians. We want our rights, and that's all. And then we don't want to fight. I told you we love life. We don't want to kill or to be killed. So when we created this power asymmetry, it's not because we want to solve this conflict. It's because we want to foster this, and we want to use Israel as a shoes to pass the mud. That's why Israel is a military base for America, the same as other countries all over the world. So that's very simple. Israel occupying Palestine. The solution, withdraw from Palestine. Two state, one state, 15 states, that's not a problem. Give us our rights. Aren't we equal? All humans are equal. This is a basic principle. But now there is no equality. There is power over power, and we are traumatized from this. You know, like, I wish you are here to see the reality on the ground. And then you will understand that if this occupation ends, you will see that how Palestinians will live normally without any problem, without even hating them. I invite Israelis to my house and who join us, and I didn't see this hatred. We can make peace. Israel must give back the Palestinians their rights. As far as there is no sanctions, as far as they enjoy the support, why to do it? I hope this is satisfying.
All right. Thank you. Sorry. So, are there more questions from the audience or comments? There is one hand. Can you make the microphone a little bit louder so it kind of like picks up from the other microphone?
Thank you for your talk. That was really informative. So I just wanted to know a little bit more about the kind of mutual aid that you were describing and like how you are doing this like nonviolent way of looking after your community and like trying to get through what is kind of an unimaginably difficult thing to go through. Like, what kind of things are you doing to support the people around you?
Did you get the question? Wait, Mahmoud, we don't hear you now. One second. Kommt nichts. Boom. Can you say something now, Mahmoud? No, the sound is gone somehow.
Soll ich gucken?
Ah, Mahmoud, wait. Your microphone is off, Mahmoud.
Yes, mine is off. Now you can hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you get the question?
If you repeat it for me, that will be great.
Okay. So the question was, you were talking a little bit about the community support that you are doing. And the question is, can you give examples of this community support and mutual aid that the Palestinians are developing within the occupied territories to survive, basically? Yeah.
No, actually... The issue is that these Palestinian communities, like farmers and shepherds, they are the last one who are productive because they are anti-capitalistic people. They are eating from their axe digging, from their goats, from their sheep. So that's why the Israelis are targeting them. The Israelis targeting them because they are the one who are the most resilient, who are able to produce. They are able, they are the one who survived the best during the COVID. They are the one who produced the food. They are the one that who produced the milk. What Israel wants is to create dependency. So those people depend on working in Israel. So if they leave their lifestyle, they want them to work as a cheap labor, and they buy Israeli products. So whenever Israel cut the products, they are poor people. Those people are not poor. Those people are rich. And life in Palestine is more expensive than in Germany. And that's why the Israelis don't want to see Palestinians who are producing their food. They want to see Palestinians waiting for international aid to come. So the support we are giving to these communities is protection. We go to protect them, to maintain their lifestyle, to keep them producers, not consumers. Because Israel wants every single Palestinian to be dependent on them, working in Israel or waiting for international aid. And all these are political money. So when Germany is giving Palestinians money, they put conditions. When Israel let the Palestinians to go to work, they put conditions. And that's why farmers and shepherds are the only free people who can produce their food. And when you produce your food, you are free in your mind. That's why Israel is targeting them, and that's why we are supporting them by human resources, by being with them, by helping them in cultivating their land, by accompanying them in shepherding their livestock. And to keep that, because we want people to be independent, to be economically independent. And that explains why Israel wants to change the lifestyle of the Palestinians. And we examined that during the COVID. During the COVID, when people were asking, can't move, the farmers were in their fields, working, producing their fruits, vegetables. And when, at the time when the soil is ready to get pregnant in March, the season of planting. So that's why Israel is aware of this. Israel is destroying the pillars of the Palestinian economy so that the Palestinians will become poor and they will not be resilient. I hope this is a clear kind of.
Yeah, thank you. I have a question, actually, and I'm going to use my moderatory power to use it. You were talking about, or you were inviting people to come. Can you a little bit, like, give a step-by-step guide on how people can come, like, who they should contact if they want to come, and how would it look to them, and what to expect for the people if they want to come?
First of all, people can visit this website, Defend Palestine, and from there you drop your kind of information to be contacted and so on, and then we will contact you, and we will organize everything. We will put you in touch with some people home in Germany to explain you things about coming to Palestine. When you arrive, we will give you a training about the risk, about the laws, about all of these things, nonviolent discipline and everything. And then we send you to the Palestinian communities. This is how it goes. We offer you the accommodation. We offer you the food. Just come. Buy your tickets and come. And if you need support in buying your tickets, we can find you some money to buy your tickets.
Okay, Mahmoud, thank you very much once again. We have to wrap it up here. It was a pleasure to hear you.